Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." What is a mark of a Christian? Joy. Now, what is joy? Now, in the New Testament, there are these recurring triumvirates, trios or trinities, love, joy, peace. We think about it in faith, hope, love in 1 Corinthians 13. But love, joy, peace come just like a triangle. And when we love, we have peace. When we love, we have joy. When we have joy, we have love, and so on. They interconnect, you see. It's a wonderful thing. Now, each one of us is composed of layers. And for some of us here, you could have as your top layer this morning, sadness. I don't know. You could have a variety of things. But there are all these different kinds of layers. Hurt, anger, pride, low self-esteem, a feeling of fear, and so on. There are these layers. Now, at your deepest layer of your being, as a Christian, there should be joy. Now, isn't that an astounding thing? Joy at the very heart of our being. Joy is part of the DNA of every Christian. John chapter 15, verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, another way of saying full is actually, and quite legitimately, fat. Your joy is fat, not a lean, slender, little thing at the bottom of your being, but a fat, big, Father Christmassy type of joy at the depth of your being, because you're saved, you're forgiven, you're with Jesus. Now, what is the second one? And I don't think you're going to get this. We're looking at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. Here's your chance. You're so shy. Lillian's got guts, but she's wrong. What? What would you do say? Because I'm deaf, I can't hear. Come on.
I said don't be anxious, but
Don't be anxious. Okay. Well, that you are wrong, yes. Good. Good. I love it when people are wrong. But we're in the same home group, so we've got a special bond, haven't we? That's good. No, I knew you wouldn't get it. The reason why. It's so important. And Paul says it again. Rejoice in the Lord. In fact, he said it three times. Always. And again I say, rejoice. You see, some of you are thinking, oh, it's all right for you, preacher. But this sadness is so deep. And will the life hurt so much? I got a little whisper of joy. Come on. You've got a big, fat Father Christmas of joy. Because you are forgiven. Because Christ has saved you. And you're on your way to heaven. Deep down. There was an old song. Now, some of you aren't... I might be the oldest in the room. I don't know. But some of you know this. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Very good. Well, you've gone up in my estimation. Right. You know that, don't say Sunday school, it's for old people like us. It's for grown-ups as well, yes. And we would have campfires, you see, in England, and sit round the campfire and play plunk on the guitar, and we'd sing these songs, and we'd make up lines. Did you do that? And the only one I can remember, I've got the you know what, I can't explain it. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. You see, it goes on. It's great. We'll be going soon. Now, this is so important, isn't it? What is a Christian like? Somebody who has that joy. Now, in England, when somebody goes to a church to start as a minister, they are received in on a Saturday afternoon. That means everybody from the other churches can come in and you can have all kinds of people. And then they have a tea afterwards. There's not meat and that. It's sandwiches and cake and jelly with custard. And so it's that. Isn't it? You know, John. John knows. You can see from his size he knows. Okay. Anyway, the 2 o'clock, the service would start, and there would often be 2 speakers. And then there would be other people giving. The secretary would say, these are the reason we called him. The minister coming in, this is the reason. And there would often be 2 preachers, one for the church and one for the minister. And anyway, the fellow who was preaching the second one, he said, I've got 3 points. And I've got 8 points, don't forget, so you've got to pick. See, I need to preach occasionally. I have to put them all in. Sorry. Get back on the subject. He had 3 points. His first point, rejoice. And he went on for 30 minutes. And of course, all these people, I mean, they've had an hour and a half already. And tea's waiting. And it's only the first point. And first point, rejoice. 30 minutes on what is joy and so on. And then he said, my second point is rejoice. And my third point is rejoice. And that was the end. Everybody was happy. But what a...
They rejoiced. They rejoiced.
I've just noticed a climb up there. I didn't realize there was a clock up there. But you get the point, don't you? This is so basic. Well, the one I thought Lillian had said was be gentle. Philippians 4:5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, this would be a wonderful thing if all of us went out into the world, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our shops, our offices, our schools, our factories, and we were gentle. We were gentlemen and gentlewomen. It's a difficult word to translate. It can mean goodwill, fairness, friendliness, patience, softness, moderation. Kingsley Williams translates it as, let all the world know that you will meet a man halfway. So in my relations, I am gentle and I am prepared to meet you halfway. Listening to understand, to appreciate, to sympathize with everybody, even the nasty. Now that is so relevant in these days of road rage and domestic violence. Be gentle. It's a characteristic especially required of church leaders. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 3. And it's translated in Titus 3 as considerate. But you get the picture. The fourth one is, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. A Christian is as it were, always conscious that Jesus is coming again and that he is near me. That is so important, isn't it? When there's a wedding and there's the bridegroom standing up there at the front of the church waiting for the bride to appear, and the bride arrives a few minutes late. She's getting out of the car. She's having her photographs taken. This is the minister getting the whispers, you see. They're getting in line, you know, the procession up the aisle. Here she comes. But when that happens, when she first arrives, that the car's arrived, there's a sort of tingle in the air. The Lord is near. There's that wonderful old saying that goes way back to the ancient church fathers. He is nearer than hands and feet, closer than breathing. Not only is he coming, but he's here. And we are, as Christians going out into the world, we're living with that constant presence of Jesus. The Lord is here. And I think that expression, big brother is watching you, is quite a useful thing to remember as well. Okay, Lillian. Here we are. Number five. Don't be anxious. Anxiety, of course, is a 21st century problem. Now, ladies, I'm going to tell you something about the men's toilets at shopping centres. You go in and you wash your hands, and then you buy the hand dryer. There's a little notice, and there's a notice on, for example, there's a notice actually on about domestic violence. There's another one about the prostate. It tells you that more men die of prostate cancer than women die of breast cancer. We men know that. We don't tell the women, but we know it. But there's this one that has been quite prevalent and dominates probably, about depression. Depression is one of the major problems, and so on. Anxiety, things like that. Now, life was hard, and hard for a lot of people, and a lot of hard for you. I mean, sometimes people are, you know, people sit in a congregation and you don't know, but they're living under the threat of losing their job, losing their house, perhaps even losing their marriage. I mean, there are all those pressures you don't see, you don't always know. You look at these faces and it's there. And we have this worry. And what the Christian is, don't be anxious. In Psalm 37, it talks about fret not. Fret not. It repeats itself. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. There's that joy aspect. 5, commit your way to the Lord. Verse 7, be still before the Lord. Verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way. It's so important that we have that sense of the presence of Christ. Don't be anxious. Do not worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. The Lord knows and understands. I know this doesn't remove the problem for you, but one of the marks of a Christian is this, that takes away that fear. We have a measure of fear, but not an all-consuming fear. Because deep down below, we've got the joy, joy, joy bubbling up. Prayer with thanksgiving. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We could have spent a lot of time on prayer, but I want to think on the concept of being thankful and introduce you. Perhaps I've said this before, I speak at other places and keep repeating myself. But one of my favorite books, Pollyanna, by Eleanor Parker. It was written in 1913. And Pollyanna is an orphan, and she's sent to live with a rather irascible aunt. And she has what is called the glad game. And whatever the circumstances, you look at what could be positive. And her father, who died, taught her this because they got a box once, and she was hoping that in the, where people sent for me to the missionaries and opened it, and there wasn't a toy in it. But there was a pair of crutches. And her father said, well, be glad you don't need the crutches. Whatever you, out of the disappointment, be thankful. Be glad you don't need crutches. The glad game. Go home, buy the book, read it. But particularly one chapter where she's walking in the woods and the local minister is practicing his sermon in the woods, thinking nobody is around. And he has got really fed up with his congregation. There have been some negative things coming at him, and he has chosen this Sunday to really hammer the congregation. And there he is, he's got hell and sin and damnation, and he's, even the leaves on the trees are shaking. And Pollyanna hears him. And she goes and has a little chat with him and talks about the glad game. And the minister takes it to heart. He goes home and he looks at the Bible and particularly the Psalms, and looks at all the thankful things. Thanks for this, thanks for that, thanks for that. And that becomes his sermon on the Sunday. It turned completely around. Now that attitude, you see, is amazing, isn't it? I mean, some of you at work, one hears about circumstances at work where there's this beast of a boss. I mean, you might be the boss, by the way, I don't know. So that would be the beast of the worker. But you know how it gets to you, doesn't it? And it can erode the good in you. We need to have that attitude of thankfulness. Be thankful. A mark of a Christian. Oh. Want the next one coming up if I can? Okay, well, it doesn't matter. I've shown my last card there, haven't I? There's no drama in that. Verse 7, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard, and you know that that's a word from the garrison, keep watch, your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And this is another of those elements that is down there with the joy. Peace, a sense of peace. Now in the Bible, peace is not absence of war and strife. Peace in the Bible is a much bigger thing. Shalom is the Hebrew word. It means total well-being of heart, body, and mind. The Greek, Irene, some people get called Irene, it's just the Greek word for peace. And it means to join together, to have harmony. That sense of harmony in our being, one of us is that we're a civil war, aren't we? We're arguing with ourselves and we feel torn about inside, but peace is that harmony, that wholeness, that health that's so important. The Latin pax has a basic sense of agreement. Now, I will give you my favorite illustration, what is the meaning of peace, which I got from a book on Christian theology in something like 1960. So it's good, isn't it? That's Pat's birthday, isn't it? I've got to be careful here. I get take carried away. This theologian said that he thought peace in the Bible was most akin to the gypsy orchestras of Central Europe. And there were villages, and there were also groups of gypsies who went around. And they played music. They loved music. And the music was based on the violin. And so when a child was able to hold a violin, and they have little violins, they learned to play the violin. And as they got bigger, they got a slightly bigger violin, and so on. Then, when they had attained a certain competence, they joined the orchestra. And you know, the front row is the best players, and then the back, and then goes to the back. And they start off in the back row, and they're playing the orchestra, but they're listening to the other players, and they're playing in tune and along with them. And the nature of a gypsy orchestra is that the conductor will improvise. So there are the basic themes that there are in the orchestra. This is hardly any written, really, music. And the conductor will develop themes. So you have to watch the conductor. So you've got those three elements. The becoming competent in your instrument, working with others, and watching the leader. And that is peace. I have control of myself. I am working with others, and I am fixed on the master. And that is peace. We have those together, and you'll have that sense of peace. Finally, brothers. See, you've got another finally. The other finally was in Galatians. This one is in Philippians. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think great thoughts. Don't be petty and mean. Think great thoughts. Don't be complaining, criticizing, running down others. Fill your mind with great thoughts. And men, one of the great dangers of our modern age is pornography. Pornography rots our spirit, and we are thinking mean, nasty things instead of great thoughts. So there we are. Some of the marks, and there are a lot more in the Bible, of what is a Christian. How about you? You know, all these elements are potentially within us if we are followers of Jesus. Because we learn from Jesus. We walk with him. We listen to him. He's come into our life. The Holy Spirit helps us to live this kind of life. So that we rejoice, we're gentle, we're aware, we're not anxious, we're thankful, we have peace, and we focus on the great things. Now, out of all those, one may dominate for you. Now, for me, it's be gentle. And in our little prayer here, I'm going to be praying that we can be more Christ-like, but I'll be thinking Christ-like in sense of being gentle. So we come, and I've got the prayer up there. You want to keep your eyes open and so on. Dear Lord, help us to be more like Jesus, Forgive us that we seem to be the same as the world. Inspire and empower us to have the mark of Jesus about us, so that we can be Christ-like, be gentle wherever we go. Amen.